Are we on? There we go. Hello. How's everybody tonight? All is well? I want to really thank Pastor Alberto and Alicia for inviting me to speak tonight. I know they spared no expense and brought my wife and I all the way in from Melbourne, Florida. But no, it's a real blessing. It's a privilege. I consider it a privilege and an honor for us to be able to share this facility together with City of Refuge. And I would rather see a church building used than sit unused. So the more we can use it, the better. And it's a blessing to just share this facility. We may be two different congregations, but we're one body in Christ. Amen? Maybe two different congregations. We may have different church cultures. We may have different ministry styles. But I believe we have the same vision to build the kingdom of God. And as Pastor Tony and myself, and I've gotten to know Pastor Alberto a little better and spend some time with him, I just believe we have a common heart to build God's kingdom. And I also believe, and I'm going to share more about this in a little bit, but I believe there's a place for us to draw from the strength of one another, both on an individual basis and a corporate basis. So Church in a Rock can draw from the strengths that City of Refuge has. And City of Refuge hopefully can draw from the strengths that Church on the Rock has. And we can be a blessing to each other and the building of God's kingdom. As I mentioned, I want to talk a little bit about community. But before I do it, there's a couple of things that I just want to share before I get into that. That's meant a lot to me, that's been important to us as a congregation. And actually, Alicia spoke to it while she was doing worship. What we believe about God, ourselves, others, and our circumstances is going to greatly affect our walk with the Lord. What we believe about God, what we believe about ourselves, what we believe about others, and what we believe about our circumstances that we experience is going to greatly affect our walk with the Lord. I know that most of us probably realize that from a biblical perspective, we're responsible for our words. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. But in Psalm 19:14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. And so I believe we're not only responsible for our words, but we're responsible for our thoughts. We're responsible for what we think. It's important that we bring our thoughts into alignment with God and His Word concerning God, ourselves, others, and our circumstances. And I believe as we learn to do that, we will find success in our lives. It's important, I think, to see life from God's perspective. We often refer to ourselves as sinners saved by grace. I think it'd be more accurate to say, I was a sinner saved by grace, because now I'm a saint. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I am a new creature in Christ. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. And the Spirit of God that is within me wants to do the will of God. And I think we need to have confidence in that. It's really important that we know who we are in Christ. It's really important that we know what the Lord has done for us. And it's really important that we have confidence in our conversion, in our salvation experience, that we have confidence in what the Holy Spirit has done inside each and every one of us. And we can trust fully in that because we know we serve a good and a gracious God. Amen? I've been having some allergy problems, so I may suck on a cough drop from time to time here. As I mentioned, I want to talk about community. And if you want to follow along in your Bibles, we're going to start with John 17. John 17 is the chapter in which you find Jesus praying. It's the prayer of the Lord's, not the Lord's prayer, but Jesus praying. And I want to look at verse 20. I think I'm going to have to take a cough drop now. I want to look at verse 20. John 17, verse 20. This is Jesus. He says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through your word. In other words, Jesus is praying and saying, I'm not just asking and praying for these disciples that are standing in front of me. I'm praying for every man and woman and young person who would believe in their word down through history. So this prayer to me, the Lord's praying for us. He's praying for us today. And if you look at Romans 8:34, after Jesus was crucified and died, buried, resurrected, ascended to the right hand of the Father, it says that he's in heaven interceding on our behalf. He's making an appeal before the Father on our behalf. He's pleading our case before our Heavenly Father. And so we have this picture of Jesus praying for us. And he says, in verse 20 again, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their work, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. In other words, God is inviting us into a relationship that already exists. He's inviting us into the relationship that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have. And we've been invited to join in, participate in that relationship with the Lord. That's incredible. Think about that. We're invited into the relationship that God has, that God the Father has with God the Son and with the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of relationship that I believe God wants to have with us. Verse 22, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. Now think about that statement for a minute. The glory that the Father gave to Jesus Christ, he's given to the church. That same glory that God gave to that the Father gave to Jesus, he's given to the church. He's given us that glory to walk in. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the church, that we would be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved us. Again, I want to just pick up that last statement for a minute. It says that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. That we would understand that Jesus Christ loves us, that God the Father loves us the way he loved Jesus Christ. Think about that. We need to digest these things, not just breeze over them. That God the Father loves us the same way he loved or loves his Son Jesus Christ. He's not holding anything back from us. You know, typically we tend to read verses like this and emphasize our being one with the Lord. And obviously it's important. Our relationship with God, our being connected with the Lord, that comes first, having an encounter with God, an experience with God. But I believe he's talking here as well about you and I being one with one another, being connected with one another as the church body. And when he talks here in verse 24, he says about the church being perfected in unity. It's not unity at the expense of Bible truth, because Jesus Christ is the only real true place of unity. It's only in Christ that we're truly going to walk in unity as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting, if you look at John 17 in the big picture, Jesus is getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to face crucifixion in Jerusalem and be died, buried, and resurrected. He's getting ready to leave the disciples. And he's basically saying, look, I'm getting ready to go, and my prayer for you and all those that would believe in my word is that you would be one, that you would be community, that you would be connected to one another. You would walk together in unity. In John 16, verse 7, Jesus says, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." He's talking about the Holy Spirit here. It's your advantage that I go away. "For if I do not go away, the helper is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." In other words, the Holy Spirit is alive in every believer, empowering us to do what we can't do in the natural, and that is love one another. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to truly love one another. Jesus, I'm sure you know this, Jesus is the head of the church, and the church is the body of Christ. But in any body, there are many members. And so in the body of Christ, there's many members. And for a body to be healthy, each member has to be healthy, and each member needs to be properly connected to the other members. Right? And so it's very important that we be connected to one another properly. I want to look for a minute. I want to go back to the book of Genesis and look for a minute at the enemy's attempt right from the beginning to destroy this whole idea of being in unity and walking together in community. You know the story in Genesis, Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They disobeyed God. And what is the first thing they did? They hid. Exactly. I want to pick the story up in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. It says, "They," Adam and Eve, "heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." I just want to pause there for a moment. To me, that's a picture. It doesn't say it specifically, but I believe God had the habit of walking regularly in the garden with Adam and Eve. I believe his so wanted Adam and Eve, his creation, to be a part of the relationship he had with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he walked with them, it talks about here, in the cool of the day. And what does it say? "And the man and his wife hid themselves." Hid themselves from what? The presence of the Lord. They hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. It's interesting that they hid themselves behind creation. And we see exactly the same thing happening today. People exalt the creation above the Creator. They worship the creation, in essence, hiding behind the creation because they don't want to deal with the presence and the reality of the living God. And so they worship the creation and not the Creator. And so we see the exact same problem happening today. I believe God's original plan was that we would be one with Him and that we would be one with one another. And I believe it was Banning Leapshear who said this: "Sin created otherness from God, ourselves, and others." Sin created an otherness from God, an otherness from ourselves, and an otherness from others. And I believe it's the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God that fixes the otherness problem, that fixes the separation that man has with God and that man has with one another. Amen? Any kind of feedback? I'm awake. I'm not dead. Not yet. Okay. Not asleep yet. Interesting verse, 1 John 1:7. It says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." The result of salvation, the result of walking in the light with God, experiencing the revelation and light of God, is not only that we will be cleansed of our sins, but we will have fellowship with one another. We'll have community. We'll have oneness together. We'll walk together as the body of Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name." As many as believe Him receive the right to become part of the family of God. You and I are invited into a family, to be part of a community. We tend, I think, to read the Bible in the context of our own personal salvation. I really believe we over-individualize the gospel sometimes. The kingdom of God is not just about me and God. The kingdom of God is about me and others with God. John 17 is a prayer for community. It's a prayer for us to walk together in building God's kingdom. And we need to see salvation just not in the context of me and God, but in the context of me, excuse me, and others and God. And I just think that is very important. I've been recently reading a book called The Blue Parakeet. Has anybody read The Blue Parakeet? Oh, there you go. I haven't finished it yet, so don't tell me the ending. Anyway, it's written by Scott McKnight. And one of his main principles that he makes is the Bible is first and foremost a story before it's a list of doctrines that we have to know. We need to, you know, we want to understand sanctification and justification and righteousness and holiness and all these theological terms. And that's all good, but the Bible is first and foremost a story. And it's a story of creation. It's a story of the fall of man. It's a story of covenant community. And if you look at the Bible, a great deal of the Bible deals with covenant community. Covenant community in the sense of the nation of Israel and the 12 tribes of Israel. And they're a covenant community with God. And then you get in the New Testament, you have the church, a covenant community again. And so the story of the Bible is creation, the fall of man, the covenant community, and then redemption or salvation in the context of the covenant community. And we would understand salvation in that context, that it's you and me and God together. We're born into a family. We're called to walk together in unity, to be perfected in unity, to be a community of believers. And I, you know, just looking at some of your announcements, it's obvious that you put a high value on community. In fact, I've been a little bit stirred in my heart to introduce some things at Church on a Rock that would provide more opportunities for community. We have a number of things now, but it's just kind of stirred me a little bit to take a look at it again, how we do it. But you can come to church every Sunday, or in this case, every Saturday night, and not be in community. You can see here in a congregation every Saturday night and not be in community, and therefore not fulfill the Lord's prayer that you would be perfected in unity with your brothers and your sisters. Community is a choice that you and I can make. And I think sometimes we do not choose community because it's hard. Because at times it hurts. And at other times it's just plain inconvenient. I want to stay home and watch TV. Right? Community is becoming one with imperfect people. Now, I know I'm perfect, and I have to become one with imperfect people, but sometimes that's kind of the way we look at it. You know, we judge ourselves pretty good. There's all these other imperfect people that I have to become one with. That becomes a little difficult. Community, I think, is a relational connection with someone with different passions, different gifting, different calling, different cultural backgrounds. Men, women, young, old. Pastor Alberto talked about not being a generational divide. I think the whole generational divide is demonic to begin with. Amen. It's fabricated. It's never intended to be a reality. I also believe the hard choices that you and I make to stay in community will be a blessing to us and a blessing to others. As I make the hard choice to stay in community and grow in Christ and grow in the context of community, it's going to be a blessing to me, and then I'm going to be able to be a blessing to others. And it's just very, very important that we understand that. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, The latter part of the chapter talks about husbands love your wives and wives submit to your husbands. And a lot of times if you're counseling someone or preparing someone for marriage, you take them to those verses. But I always read one verse before that portion of Scripture, and that's Ephesians 5:21. And it says that we are to be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. Excuse me. We're to be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. And that word subject is a military term. It means to rank under. But basically, what it means is to have a mutual readiness to yield our will to one another. To be subject to one another is to have a mutual readiness to yield our will to one another in the context of community. Christianity is not meant to be understood or lived out only in the context of me and God. In fact, I believe Christianity or community provides the channel through which God's grace can flow to every member in that community. And I think it's important to understand that. As we sit in community, grace can flow through me to others, and grace can flow through others to me. But that only really happens in the context of community. Community, I must be standing in the wrong place here. Community is allowing people to see into our lives so that they can influence us. Did you hear that? Community is allowing people to see into our lives so they can influence us, to be transparent enough so that people can have an influence in our lives and help us in our walk with the Lord. Right? Independence, on the other hand, is not allowing people to see into our lives so they cannot have influence in our lives. Right? So you and I get to choose community. Thank you. Thank you. Or to choose to be independent. Again, it's Banning Leapshire, I believe, who says, in the context of community, I can give others my strength and others can give me their strength. I hope I have some strengths and that I can be a benefit and a blessing to others because of those strengths. And I know a lot of you have strengths and I can greatly benefit from the strengths of others if I'm willing to allow them to influence my life or allow you to influence my life. I have to be willing to do that. I have to open myself up to you. Even though you're imperfect, you're different than me. You have different gifts, different calling, different passions. Sometimes I think you're weird. But opening up ourselves towards one another to be influenced by one another. I believe that's the blessing and power of community. In John 15, verse 12, Jesus says, "This is my commandment that you love one another." Now, what's the commandment that God... You know, there are New Testament commandments. What's the commandment that the Lord leaves us with? Love one another. Verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Basically, Jesus is saying this: if you want to be my friend, then do what I command you, and I command you to love one another. Right? Now think about that. If you want to be my friend, then do what I command you, and what I command you is to love one another. In fact, do not try to act like you're my friend if you don't know how to love your brother or your sister. 1 John 4:20. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he possibly love God who he has not seen? So an indication that I have truly had an encounter with Christ and seen the Lord in a spiritual sense is that I can turn around and love my brother the same way that Christ has loved me. Right? Now, I want to, real quick, I know it's running late. Alberto says he doesn't go past 9. But I do understand when every time Alberto speaks, it goes at least to 8. So, all right, some benefits of community. Number one, strength comes through community. Proverbs 13:25, he who walks with a wise man will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. We can gain access to the strength of others through community. Paul visited the churches in Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, and it says in Acts 14:22, he went about strengthening the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith. You know, whether you're in ministry or whether you're just going through a personal problem, we can gain strength from others and the support of others, other believers being around us. In fact, I believe our best by ourselves alone, apart from community, falls far short of what is available to us if we learn to draw from the best of others in the context of community. Amen? When you isolate yourself from community, you're really relying on your own wisdom and your own strength. And we're also cutting off one of the ways I believe that God pours his grace out upon us is through the body of Christ. All right, second way I believe that the community is a benefit is prayer, prayer covering. We can pray for one another. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effect of prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. That's in the context of community. We can pray for one another that we'll be healed. Paul, in Ephesians 6:19, is requesting the church at Ephesus to pray for him. He says, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth and making known with boldness the mystery of the gospel of the kingdom. He prayed for the church in Colossae, and he said, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. So there's great benefit, I believe, in community, in being able to pray for each other. Another aspect of community is, I believe there's safety in community. In the Gospels, the picture of Jesus as a shepherd and us as sheep, the idea of the sheep wandering away from the flock is always bad, right? It's always not good for sheep to wander away from the flock. In Proverbs 11:14, it says, where there's no guidance, the people fall. When there's no community, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. And so learn to draw from the strength and the wisdom and the counsel of others, and it'll be a great blessing to you. Now, that's going to require humility. That's going to require me opening up my life so that you can have an influence on me. Right? Okay. This to me is important as well. God speaks through community. If you look... Obviously, it's very important that we have a personal relationship with the Lord and we hear from the Lord ourselves. I'm not taking away from that. But if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it has the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, at least 5 of those gifts come through other people. Word of wisdom comes often through others. Word of knowledge comes through others. Gifts of healing often work through others. Effecting of miracles work through others. Prophecies and prophetic utterances work through others. Tongues, interpretation of tongues works through others. And so God speaks to us in the context of community. And I believe some people say, well, I don't hear God. I never hear God. Well, perhaps God is waiting for you to get into community and listen to what God is speaking through others. I know I attend several prayer meetings throughout the week. Whenever I'm in a prayer meeting, I always take time to listen to what others are praying. Because time and time again, God has spoken to me through their prayers. Either just a general sense of scripture, something opening up in the word to me, or speaking something personally to my life. So even in being in a corporate prayer meeting and in hearing others pray, if you listen with spiritual ears, you can hear the Lord speak to you. And so God speaks to us, I believe, in the context of community. The fifth area that I wanted to mention is encouragement can come through community. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another. Now, that word encourage is a verb, I guess, grammatically, I think. It's an active word. It actually means to draw alongside of others to comfort them. So if someone's discouraged, whose responsibility is it to encourage them? Whose responsibility is it? Ours, exactly. Two verses that have always been significant to me are Hebrews 10:24-25. It says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Consider. Let us consider. That word means to be concerned about, to give care to consider, to think about. How can I stimulate, encourage someone in their walk with the Lord? How can I draw alongside of someone and encourage them, stimulate them in their walk with God? How many come into a Saturday night service and you're not here for any other reason than maybe to enjoy the fellowship and, you know, have some snacks in the back and, you know, when it's over, get up and leave? How many come in here with the sense that, you know, God might want to use me this evening? God might want to speak through me this evening. It might be as simple as walking up and laying your hands on someone's shoulder and saying, hey, how you doing? Can I pray for you? It might be asking God, God, give me a word for someone tonight. Let me share a word with someone tonight. Let me be a blessing to somebody tonight. Like I said, you can come into church every Saturday night and not be in community. But I just believe we need to learn how to have that kind of care and concern for each other. And the last reason I wanted to give concerning benefits of community is that ministry is birthed out of community. Ministry is birthed out of community. If you look at Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, the apostles and prophets were in Antioch were praying, and it says, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I called them. And then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Paul did not go out into ministry until James and others laid hands on him and sent him out. You know, there's a big difference to me between being sent and went. There are many who went without being sent. And so there are many not willing to stick it out in community, where you go through a process of iron sharpening iron and being equipped so you can be sent out. Instead, we want to short circuit that process and we went instead of being sent. So again, I just believe another benefit of community is that ministry is birthed out of community. Just one, well, two last thoughts. I just want to speak against the danger of isolation for a moment. People withdraw from fellowship for many reasons. People get hurt in churches. We hurt each other with our words or our actions sometimes without realizing it. Not only do people get hurt, leaders get hurt. I've been in ministry over 30 years, and I've been hurt many times in the church. And I have hurt others, not intentionally, but saying something that I didn't realize that was, you know, would hurt somebody. And so we've got to get beyond separating and isolating ourselves because we've been hurt. There's no way to have a community without being hurt. Even in your own blood family, there's no way to have a family without being hurt from time to time. You don't just get up and leave. You work it out. You work through it. And enjoy the benefits of remaining in community. Others will go through a difficult time in their life, a trial of some type, and they'll begin to withdraw. You ever seen people like that? They go through a struggle in their life. Times get hard. One of the first things you do is withdraw from fellowship, withdraw from community. Oh, that's the very time that you need community. That's the very time you need people around you to encourage you. You need people around you to speak into your life, to help you and stimulate you in your walk with the Lord and help you to walk through that difficult time you're having in your life. And so I would just encourage you to declare war on disconnection of any type. Don't isolate yourself from the body of Christ. I believe the enemy tries to separate the sheep from the flock because it's easier for them to be deceived outside the flock. Let me just end with reading a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, I want to start at verse 14. Excuse me. For if I pray, 1 Corinthians 12. See, that doesn't work. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were the hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each of them in the body, just as he desired. God has placed each of you in this body as he has desired. For the blessing and common good of others, not just yourself, but for your own benefit, but as well as for the blessing of others. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Or the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. So I just want to encourage you this morning, this evening, actually. I'm used to this morning. Our motto as a church, Church on the Rock, our motto is encounter God, love people, share life. Everything begins with an encounter with God. Everything begins in personal relationship with God. I cannot get in the kingdom of God on your faith. But once you're born again, you're born into a family of believers. And I believe God's called us to be one with one another and to walk with one another and to sacrifice our lives for one another and to learn what it means to be community, to walk through community when it's difficult and when it's easy. To mourn with those who mourn, to rejoice with those who rejoice. To support one another in the good times and the bad times. To help one another when one going through a trial, to draw alongside of them, to encourage them, to comfort them, to stimulate them to love and good deeds. If you see someone trying to cut themselves off, isolate themselves, go somehow befriend them, talk to them, woo them back. Draw them back in the context of the body, in the context of community. There are so many Lone Ranger Christians today. Well, I don't need the church to be a Christian. But that's nice, but it's not really biblical. Because we're called into community. And right from the beginning, Satan's tactic was to produce an otherness with God, ourselves, and others, to separate us when God wanted us to be one with Him. God's invited us into the relationship He has with the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. You and I are invited into that relationship to enjoy that kind of community with God. Amen? There you go.